Here's a question that sounds simple and isn't. When you switch on your transponder and your ADS-B gear lights up, how many radios are actually talking? Most pilots would say one. In a lot of American cockpits, the honest answer is that there are two completely different data links in play, running on two different frequencies, speaking two different languages, and the whole system only works because a computer on the ground is quietly translating between them in real time. I'm Vector, this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar, and today we're going to break down the strangest design decision in modern surveillance. The United States is the only country on Earth that built its ADS-B network on two frequencies instead of one. Let's talk about why, what it cost, and the trap it sets for pilots who don't understand it. First, let me define the term, because the acronym gets thrown around like everyone was in the room when they named it. ADS-B stands for Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast. I'll say ADS-B from here on, break the name apart, and it tells you exactly what it is. Automatic, because it runs on its own, no interrogation required. Dependent, and this is the important word, because it depends on your airplane knowing where it is. It's not radar bouncing energy off your aluminum. Your airplane figures out its own position from GPS and then broadcasts that position outward for everyone to hear. Surveillance, because that's the job. Broadcast, because it just shouts the data into the air, unencrypted for any receiver in range. That's the elegant part. Old radar is a question and answer. A big dish sweeps around, sends out a pulse, waits for the echo. ADS-B is just a continuous announcement. I am here, at this altitude, on this heading, this fast, and here's my identity. No sweep, no rotating antenna, updates about once a second instead of once every several seconds. On paper, it's a straight upgrade. Now here's where America got weird. Before we go further, this segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made, built to last, and the kind of thing that actually means something to the person who earned it. That's AviationSoul.com. So, the rest of the world settled on one frequency. 1090 megahertz. That's the same frequency your Mode S transponder already uses, and the international solution was to just bolt the position broadcast onto that existing transponder signal. They call it extended squitter. Squitter is the random little chirp a transponder sends out on its own, and extended squitter just makes that chirp longer so it can carry the full position message. So the world standard is 1090 ES, one frequency, one link, done. The United States looked at that and said, "We'll take it, but only for the airplanes that fly high, and for everybody else we're going to build a second system on a completely different frequency, 978 megahertz. They called it the Universal Access Transceiver, I'll say UAT. Let's break this down, because the reasoning is actually pretty smart, even if the result is a headache. The engineers who designed the American system had a real problem with 1090 megahertz. That frequency was already crowded. Every transponder in the country chirps on it, every radar interrogation happens on it, and every time a controller's radar sweeps, thousands of transponders answer on 1090. Add the TCAS collision avoidance systems on the airliners, all interrogating each other, and that band is genuinely noisy. The engineering term is frequency congestion, and it's not theoretical. In a busy terminal area, 1090 is a crowded room, where everyone is shouting. Now imagine you dump every Cessna, every Cub, every experimental, every helicopter, every balloon into that same crowded room, and make them all broadcast their position once a second. You've just made the noise problem catastrophically worse. The high-value signals, the airliner position reports, start getting stepped on.
So the American designers made a bet. Give the low and slow world its own frequency. 978 megahertz, clean, quiet, nobody else on it. Airplanes below 18,000 feet could use the UAT link on that clean frequency. Airliners and anything up in the flight levels would use 1090 ES. Because when you fly internationally, you have to speak the world's language. The rule ended up roughly like this. If you fly in Class A airspace above 18,000, you must have 1090 ES down low. In most of the airspace where general aviation lives, you can pick either one. And here's the part the engineers were genuinely proud of. That 978 UAT link had bandwidth to spare, because it wasn't fighting for room. So they used the extra room to send you free stuff. Weather traffic. On the UAT frequency, the ground stations broadcast a whole data package up to you. Graphical weather radar, MATERS, TAFEs, temporary flight restrictions, NOTAMs.
That's the Flight Information Service, FISB. It's the reason a pilot with the right 978 receiver gets free in-cockpit weather with no subscription. 1090ES does not carry that. If you're on the 1090 link, you don't get FISB weather at all. So already you can see the trade. The two-frequency system solved a real congestion problem and handed general aviation free weather as a bonus. That's the promise. Now, let's be honest about the cost, because there's always a cost, and here's what most people miss. The moment you have two frequencies, you have a translation problem. Think about it from the airplane's point of view. Say you're flying a Piper with a 978 UAT system. There's a bonanza 3 miles off your nose broadcasting on 1090ES. Your radio listens on 978. His radio broadcasts on 1090. You physically cannot hear each other. Two airplanes, same sky, same surveillance system, completely deaf to one another. That is a genuinely bad outcome for a technology whose entire purpose is seeing traffic. The fix is a piece of infrastructure most pilots never think about. The ground stations. The FAA built a network of ADS-B ground stations across the country, and one of their jobs is to be the interpreter. A ground station hears the bonanza on 1090, hears you on 978, and then rebroadcasts each of you onto the other frequency so you can see each other. That relayed traffic service is called TISB, the Traffic Information Service Broadcast. The ground station is literally repeating the other guy's position onto your frequency so your screen shows him. The data tells an interesting story about how well that works, and it's a mixed story. When it works, it's seamless. You see the traffic, you never know a translation happened. But TISB has a catch built into it, and this is the single most important thing for a VFR pilot to understand about the whole system. The ground station will only build you a traffic picture if you're broadcasting ADS-B out yourself. Let me say that a different way, because it trips people up constantly. There are two halves to ADS-B. There's out, which is your airplane broadcasting your own position, and there's in, which is your airplane receiving other people's positions on a display. A lot of pilots bought an in-only box. A portable receiver sits on the glare shield, feeds traffic and weather to a tablet. No installation, no out. And they think they're seeing everything. They're not. Here's why. The ground station doesn't waste bandwidth broadcasting a custom traffic picture to airplanes it can't see. It only builds that tailored TISB feed for airplanes that are transmitting out, because those are the airplanes it knows are there and knows where to aim the service. So if you're running an in-only receiver with no out, the ground station isn't building you a picture. You'll see the airplanes that happen to broadcast directly on your frequency, and you'll miss the ones on the other link, the ones that needed translating. You get a partial, misleading picture that looks complete. Pilots have a nickname for the good version of this, the hockey puck. When you're transmitting ADS-B out, the ground station serves you a puck of traffic, a cylinder of airspace centered on your airplane, and inside that puck you get everybody. Both frequencies, fully translated, roughly 15 nautical miles around you and 3,500 feet above and below. Outside the puck, coverage thins out. But inside it, if you're broadcasting out, you see the whole room. Without out, there's no puck. That's the honest limitation. And no amount of marketing on the box tells you that clearly. Let's talk about who's building and running all this, and how we got here. The mandate date was January 1st, 2020. That's when ADS-B out became required to fly in most controlled airspace. The airspace where you used to need a Mode C transponder. Roughly speaking, inside the Class B and Class C shelves, above 10,000 feet in the Mode C veil around the busy airports. The FAA set that deadline years in advance, and the general aviation fleet spent the 20-teens getting equipped, sometimes grumbling the whole way, because the boxes weren't cheap, and the clean 978 solution and the 1090 solution both had installation costs. On the manufacturing side, this is Garmin. It's Apareo with the Stratus line. It's UAvionics. It's L3 and others. UAvionics in particular did something clever for the low-cost end, building ADS-B into wingtip and tail position light housings so an owner could get compliant without tearing the panel apart. The 978 UAT path is what made a lot of those budget solutions possible, because it's a simpler, cheaper radio than a full 1090ES transponder. So was the two-frequency bet worth it? Let me give you the balanced answer, because I promised honesty, and this is where the engineering community genuinely disagrees. The case for it. Congestion on 1090 is real, and offloading the general aviation fleet onto a clean frequency protected the system where it mattered most, up in the busy terminal airspace and the flight levels. and FISB weather on 978 has genuinely made flying safer for thousands of small airplane pilots who never would have paid for a Datelink weather subscription. Free weather radar in the cockpit of a trainer is not nothing. It's a real safety gain. The case against it, the complexity, is the cost. Two links means the whole system leans on ground stations to translate, which means ADSB in on the American system isn't truly peer-to-peer the way this single-frequency world is. In most of the world, two airplanes with ADSB just see each other directly, air-to-air, no ground station required because they're on the same frequency. In America, cross-link traffic depends on being inside a ground station's coverage and depends on you transmitting out. Fly into a valley with no ground station reception, and the translation service can go away right when the terrain has already made traffic hard to spot. And there's a subtler cost. Every pilot now has to understand a distinction that shouldn't exist in a well-designed system: out versus in which frequency. Whether you get the puck? That's cognitive load that the rest of the world's pilots simply don't carry. When your surveillance system requires a 20-minute radio segment to explain the difference between the box that keeps you legal and the box that actually shows you traffic, the engineer in me says the design leaked complexity onto the user. Elegant systems don't do that, if I'm being fair. The FAA made a defensible call for the conditions they faced. They had a uniquely crowded 1090 environment, a uniquely large and diverse general aviation fleet, and a chance to give that fleet free weather. Given all that, two frequencies wasn't crazy. It was a reasonable answer to an American-sized problem. It's just that no other country had that exact problem, which is why no other country copied it. That's usually the tell. When a design is genuinely universal, it spreads. When it's a local optimization, it stays home. So here's the practical takeaway, and it's for every pilot flying with this gear right now. Know which link you have, 978 or 1090. Know that if you want the full traffic picture, the whole hockey puck with both frequencies translated, you need to be transmitting ADSB out, not just receiving in. That glare shield box feeding your tablet is wonderful for weather and it's better than nothing for traffic, but it is not the same as being a full participant in the system. Treat the traffic it shows you as a helpful hint, never as the complete truth. Your eyes out the window are still the primary sensor. They always were. My thanks to the FAA's own ADSB documentation and advisory circulars for the frequency and coverage details, and to the manufacturers who've spent a decade quietly solving the installation problem for the rest of us. You can find more of what we cover at RadioHangar.com. Two frequencies, one sky, and a computer on the ground working overtime to make them agree. That's the system watching over you. Fly like you understand it. I'm Vector. Keep it centered.